Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. In our gospel lesson we just heard read, there was a man that was born blind that Jesus came upon, and his disciples asked him, is it because this man sinned or because his parents sinned that he was blind? Now, if you think about it, if the man was born blind, he couldn't have sinned before he was born. So they must not have been. They must have thought that maybe he'd done something after he had been born, and that was a retroactive punishment or something like that. Or perhaps it was because his parents had sinned in some way. But Jesus, of course, said that it wasn't that at all. His disciples really were trying to find a reason why that happened. And they're kind of like us. We always want to find out a reason why something happened, or a reason why someone is the way that they are. We want to place the blame on something. So that's what the disciples were trying to do. These disciples figured that this man was either blind because of his own sin or because of the sin of his parents. And Jesus said in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There was a young boy who was playing the role of Jesus in a Sunday school play. And he was doing okay, but all of a sudden he forgot his lines. And his mother was sitting right in the front row, and so she tried to mouth the words to him to kind of prompt him and make some little gestures, but still it wasn't coming to him. So she leaned forward and she said, I am the light of the world. Well, all of a sudden his eyes brightened and he announced in a real clear voice, my mother is the light of the world. Well, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And obviously Jesus, as the light of the world, is someone who is able to not only heal body but also souls. And in our story this morning, Jesus heals the man born blind. This man couldn't even see the light. But when he was healed, he could not only see the light, but he could also see everything clearly. And that's what Jesus does for us. He opens our eyes, he opens our spiritual eyes, to be sure, so that we can see things more clearly than we otherwise would. I was thinking about the light this last week and thinking about what light does. And it does a number of different things, and I'd like to share maybe some of those things with you. The first thing that light does is to expose things. Light exposes things. I remember going into a dark room one night, and I didn't turn on the light or anything. I just walked in, and I stepped on something, and it went crunch. And I wondered what I'd stepped on. So when I turned on the light, here were all these cockroaches on the floor, and I'd stepped on one, and they just all scattered. Well, that's kind of what the light does. It kind of scatters the darkness. And Jesus, of course, uses his light to scatter the darkness around us as well. The light used by Jesus exposes the deeds of darkness. The psalmist said in 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the light of God can illuminate our pathway so that we can be careful not to, we can also be careful not to step on those things that might cause us to stumble or get in our way. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes the light. Jesus said that while he was in the world, that he was the light of the world, but eventually he would ascend into heaven and take the light with him. But he wouldn't go away from this earth without leaving the light here. And he did so in a couple of ways. The first way he left his light was in the form of the Bible. The Bible, of course, is that which can illuminate our lives. It can expose sin, and it helps us to see what we need to change in our behavior. His word can help us to see clearly what is supposed to be, what we're supposed to live our lives like. The Bible can light the path in front of us so that we know how to walk and so that we avoid the stumbling blocks that might be put in front of us. that doesn't mean that Jesus is no longer the light. Instead, Jesus has put his light within us through his Holy Spirit. That means that we as Christians are to be the light of the world. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to be the light of Jesus shining through to others as we live for him and follow him. As we also do the good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do, then others can see his light shining through those good deeds and perhaps be drawn closer to the Savior. We're not to hide the light of Jesus at all. We might have opportunities that people come to us and we have an opportunity to share with them about Jesus Christ. And we can share with them what he has done for us or what he has done for them by coming into the world and dying on the cross or in what way he has changed our lives. All those things can be a way that we can let his light shine to others. But the question is, are we going to hide that light or are we going to be willing to let our light shine? Light can also be a disinfectant. Ultraviolet light, for example, can disinfect. It's known as a disinfectant. It can even disinfect things like the COVID-19 virus. And certainly UV light can render something like that harmless. I have a little UV light thing here that I can use to pass over a small area, and it can disinfect that from viruses and germs and things like that. And so the light can be a disinfectant. Light can also chase away the darkness and fear in our lives. There was a young boy by the name of Johnny who was 5 years old, and he was in the kitchen with his mother while she was cooking dinner. So she asked him if he would go into the pantry and get a can of tomato soup. And he said, no, I won't do that. And she said, Johnny, I need that can of tomato soup. I need you to go into the pantry and get it. He says, no, I'm not going in there. And she said, why not? He said, because it's too dark, and I'm afraid. She said, well, when you go in there, just remember, Jesus will be in there with you. So he very cautiously walked up to the pantry door and opened it and peered inside. And he said, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup? Well, certainly fear is something that can cause us to be in such a situation where we lose some of our faith even. Fear's job description is to convince us that our faith will not work. When we focus on fear in any form, it infects our faith. Fear's assignment is to attack our minds, much like a virus attacks our body. Once infected with fear, your hope diminishes and your faith becomes depleted. But when your hope is in the Lord, his word becomes your spiritual disinfectant. Just like a UV light, or just as you spray a disinfecting spray, or just as you use hand wipes or hand sanitizer to kill germs and bacteria, so too the light and truth of Scripture can eradicate fear and bring us back into spiritual health. That's why it's vital to know God through His Word. We're told to put God's Word in our hearts and in our minds and tie them as symbols on our hands and bind them on our foreheads. David says this in Psalm 119, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The final aspect of light about which I want to speak today is that fire gives light. Fire kind of brings light to in a more dramatic way and can chase away the darkness and can give us warmth as well. I mentioned before that my family used to have a gas stove. Now, it seems that gas stoves are not quite as popular as they once were. But gas stoves, as you know, have a pilot light on them. And that pilot light is always lit and just stays there. It doesn't do anything until the gas is turned on. When the gas is turned on, then the flame goes from the pilot light to the burners and ignites and provides a much brighter fire that can illuminate the room and can also heat up and warm up things on the stove. And so, because of that, there may be some here that really think about themselves, and they think, maybe, do I really have the light of Christ in me? Is the light of Christ in me or not? And if you're wondering about that, if you wonder if you do have the light of Christ, then you might just examine your life and ask, you know, have I really turned to Christ in my life? Have I asked Him to be my Savior? Have I invited Him into my heart? And if you have, then Christ is the light within you. Now, it may just be a pilot light. Pilot lights are just there and they're on, but that's all they are. They're just kind of on. Maybe you might kind of view yourself as being a pilot light Christian. But what happens so often is that we kind of can stay as a pilot light Christian and really not get much done in our lives. We need an infusion of energy that causes our faith to come alive. Some of you may be familiar with the name Catherine Marshall. She wrote a number of books in the past and wrote a book called Christie that was made into a television series. And there was an occasion in her life when she felt like the flame of God's love had gone out. It started with the sudden death of her infant grandchild. She called that the dark night of her soul. In her journal, she described it this way. Inside, I am dry and lonely, unable to accomplish anything. Really, just going through the motions of life, barely able to do that. It is more than a dry period. I've been through those before and did not lose the presence. This is darkness, deadness, awful in the way it numbs you, makes you cold and indifferent. You do the very things, say the very word you know you should not. But she didn't give up. She kept praying. She kept doing everything she could to stir up the fire. Eventually in her journal she wrote the following. A feeling rises up inside of me that little trickles of praise are now running together, merging, beginning to form a river, a small river of praise. It began mechanically, yet now has increasingly the feel of a spontaneous emotion. Slowly but surely my mind is being cleansed. Rich and beautiful positive words are taking over, chasing away the negative ones. I am being filled with your light. Lord Jesus, how radiant and glorious is the light of yours. Suddenly I felt the living presence of Jesus. What joy to have this again in my life. So Catherine Marshall felt like that maybe even her pilot light had gone out. But then she began to seek the Lord. She began to try to get in touch with Him again and do the things that maybe felt mechanical at the beginning. But as she began to continue to do those things, she said praise began to well up within her, and she began to continually praise and thank the Lord. And eventually, that closeness to Christ came back to her again. You bet. As we think about the light of Jesus, has it grown dim in you? You might remember my illustration about the gas pilot. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were up in the upper room, and we might say that they're really pilot-like Christians. They didn't have the power of God working through them. But Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. And so as they were up in that upper room, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them, and they saw tongues of fire resting upon them. And so the light of Christ was not only revolutionized within them, but was ignited to the point that they became totally, radically changed from cowardly, fearful disciples to now lions of the faith. It says that they turned the world upside down. So how could they go from this pilot-like Christianity to all of a sudden being great evangelists for the Lord? Well, they did so because that pilot light of Jesus Christ came alive within them. And they were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And as they were filled, then they became much more powerful Christians, being able to do things that they weren't able to do in their own strength and power. So perhaps you might see yourself in that description. You might see yourself as maybe a pilot-like Christian or someone who used to be on fire for the Lord, but maybe he's kind of dwindled down a bit. The good news is that can return. We can return again to that excitement about the Lord. We can return again to that being on fire for Him. We can return again to the idea of walking in the light of Christ. Jesus said, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your light, and that that light is designed to shine forth from us so that others might see their way into your kingdom, might see the way of salvation in you, that they might see that there is a hope for the future. Lord, would you help us to let your light shine through us? Lord, if we are any sort of pilot-like Christians, would you turn us into just a flame of fire for you, letting that light shine forth in a way that would touch the lives of others? Also, Lord, we pray that you would continue to help us to keep stoking the fire of your Holy Spirit as we seek you more and more each day. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.